You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, if you've got a teen or a tween living in your home, you may notice it is difficult to get them to sleep. I mean, at least it is at my house. There is a new book out called Generation Sleepless, and it uncovers one of the biggest threats to our teens' physical and mental health, and that's sleep deprivation. One of the authors, Heather Turgeon, is joining us today to talk more about what's impacting our kids' sleep, but also what we can do to help them get better rest. Heather, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So the thing that struck me in this book is that I think we know as parents how beneficial sleep is, but there is something that starts to happen with our kids where it's really difficult to get them to sleep.
Yes, there definitely is. Part of it is that their brain clocks are set later than ours. So it's pretty clear from the research that melatonin and all the other sleepiness hormones and chemistry actually shift about 2 hours later when kids enter adolescence. So that means age roughly, 12 to 20. Kids legitimately have a different brain, their brain clocks are set to a different pace than ours. So that is part of it, that they legitimately do not feel tired when we do necessarily, and they want to sleep a little later than we do. And there's also technology, and there's in high school, there's academic overload. So it's kind of a perfect storm is how we describe it.
So let's talk about that. I mean, I think that this idea of their sleep clock shifting makes sense. I remember being a teenager and not being tired late at night. And my school start time was 8:25. Why I still remember that, but I do. Right now, like I have a fourth grader and an eighth grader. School starts at 8 a.m. And the high school that my son will be going to in the fall, they start at 8:30 and they start at 9 a.m. depending upon the day. And I'm so looking forward to that. But that's not, you talk about in your book, that's not the majority of how high schools work here in our country.
Correct. And I have the same, I have a fourth grader and an eighth grader, and same thing. My kids start at 8 a.m. and the high school, because of the California law that's going into effect in the fall, the high school will have to start at 8:30, but it's not the case all over the country. It's been really, really hard for schools to get in line with the science. So the science has been clear on teenagers needing about 8 to 10 hours of sleep and needing to sleep in later than us. It's been clear for decades, but because of just resistance to change and logistical issues, and just, I think, almost like a frustration over the idea that we should have to, I think there's this idea out there that teenagers should just tough it out like we did, or something like that, or they don't need, we're kind of like catering to them. It's just, it's been so hard for, and luckily some states are actually taking up the issue. I think New Jersey is now taking it up too, and New York.
Well, and you talk about in the book though, what the research shows in this. And can we talk a little bit about that? Because when you are looking at an earlier start time, so anything before 8:30 in the morning, research studies have shown, you're looking at lower GPAs, increase in depression and suicidality. This can potentially be deadly, because then you even get into, car crashes.
Right, exactly. It's kind of all the things that parents do not want for their children that come with an early high school start time. Definitely learning is impacted because the brain is not as alert and productive and creative and in the morning. And if kids go to school in the dark and they don't get the go signal of morning sun, they're not learning as well. So going to school in the dark is really bad for the teenage brain. It's also really, really a drag on their mental health. So with a start time of 8:30 or later, what research shows is that the majority of kids can get about 8 hours of sleep, which is adequate sleep. That's adequate sleep for a high schooler. But without an 8:30 start time, right now the average high schooler is sleeping more like 6.5 hours of sleep, per night. So that's a chronic sleep deprivation that really affects their mental health. It's not a coincidence that anxiety and depression are on the rise as sleep time is going down.
And you also write in the book about the profound effect on a teenager's growth when it comes to sleep deprivation. Can you talk a little bit about that and how growth hormones actually work when you're sleeping?
Yeah, this is a good one to share with your teen if they're kind of skeptical about this whole sleep
thing. That's what I thought.
You know, we have like families, let's say like you have a child who wants to play basketball, or they are interested in, we know a lot of teenagers who are starting to like lift, you know, free weights and stuff like that.
Right.
They care about their bodies. They want to feel good and they want to grow and be tall. And growth hormone is secreted during sleep. So the more sleep time you can give yourself, the greater chance you have of reaching your full growth potential.
And, you know, one thing, I mean, it's so interesting that we're having this conversation, because literally this morning, my eighth grader, you know, he gets himself up in the morning, but I come out and he's lying on the couch almost asleep. And I was like, did you go to bed late? And he said, no. He goes, but I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't get back to sleep. You know, it took me a while and I'm tired. And I know that happens, but I also think too, he's 13, almost 14, start time of school is 8 a.m. That impacts his ability to get good sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the most common sleep issue for teenagers is difficulty falling asleep. So because they have that delayed sleep clock, they're more prone to having trouble falling asleep. And then they are also more, the effects of technology and light will more easily suppress their sleep than ours.
Gotcha.
It has to do with the fact that they have such acute vision. They're really like, their young eyes are very susceptible to the alerting effects of technology. So, you know, and so that's part of it, is that they need more. We call it in the book, we call it the sleep bubble. We need it to create even more of that sleep bubble around their sleep to allow their bodies to get, you know, to get adequate sleep.
If you're just joining our conversation, we're talking with Heather Turgeon about her new book. It's called Generation Sleepless, and it looks at the impact of lack of sleep on teens and tweens. So we've talked about all of the, you know, the big issues that come with sleep deprivation. So I want to turn the conversation, Heather, now to what we can do as parents and caregivers to create healthier habits around sleep. And I'm curious about sleep in general as a family, because I think there are some adults that do not have good sleep habits. It's going to be difficult to create good sleep habits in your entire family if you're not practicing what you preach.
That's right. Yes. So we think of sleep health as like a family value and priority. So if we call it the sleep forward approach, as opposed to what a lot of families are kind of left with at this point, which is a sleep, you know, sleep is what's left over at the end of the day when everything else is done. So we hope that we can inspire people to shift sleep into, you know, the forefront and organize life around it, because that makes a huge difference. And yes, modeling, talking about your own sleep, modeling technology boundaries. And in the book, we have a lot of examples of routines that are important. We have a wind down routine, a bedtime routine, and a morning routine. And every person of every age can have these three routines and create them in a way that's fun and works for you. And there's a lot that teenagers can do. For example, getting 5 to 10 minutes of morning sunshine is really, really powerful to their sleep. So there's a lot of practical things that families can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the idea of, you know, not just modeling your behavior, but how do we, you know, make our teens believe that that sleep is a good idea, right?
Yeah.
And self-motivating them. Because I mean, literally have the exact same age children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but my 13-year-old believes that I know nothing at this point in life.
Well, I have a leg up on just this one thing, because it is my specialty. My kids have been writing books about sleep since they were babies. So they kind of have no choice at this point. But I will say that is a really, really, you're getting to the crux of the most difficult part of this, which is that after a certain point, we cannot tell our kids what to do in a direct way.
Yeah.
We can't control them the way that we used to. So what we do in the book is flip this around and try to go, okay, when your child is entering high school or halfway through high school, you can no longer just say, it's time for bed, go to bed. First of all, a lot of parents are asleep before they're teenagers.
That's us.
Yeah. So we have conversations in the book that help parents tap into the teen self-motivation. And that starts with empathy. That actually starts with really good listening skills. Because if you listen closely and you really just reflect back what they're saying to you, this is where our therapy skills come in really handy. You will find something in that that they care about. And, you know, it could be that growth hormone piece. It could be the mental health. It could be learning. You find something that actually, you know, feels, that resonates with them and that they lead the conversation. And then, you know, you add in your information about sleep there. So tapping into their self-motivation is tricky, but it's really, really, it's really important.
Okay. So what about phones and phone use? Because, that is something that, you know, I never had growing up. And we all, I mean, I keep my phone by the side of my bed. Now, granted, I put it on silent, I flip it over, you know, but I'm an adult, right? Yeah. And so, you know, I can put certain boundaries around it, but that seems to be a big factor in so many people's lives.
It is. It definitely is. I mean, I went to high school in the 90s and I had like a boombox and a cord phone in my bedroom.
You got a phone in your bedroom. I didn't even have that.
Okay. They were easier to turn off. And yeah, smartphones are really difficult to turn off. There's just, they're enchanting. The algorithms that are on smartphones and all of our technology are just much more, they're brilliant. They're brilliantly designed. And so we, I mean, the ideal thing is to put them away and to sleep and to not even check your texts or anything in the hour before you go to bed. It takes discipline and modeling for sure, but it's very possible. So charge your phone an hour before you need to go to bed and flip it over and get a basic alarm clock. That's ideal, but of course not every family. We try to meet families where they are. And sometimes that's so far off what they're doing that we say, okay, how can we meet in the middle here?
Yeah. Yeah. So before I let you go, I mean, what would you say is the first thing families should do if they want to create better sleep habits?
Yes. Okay. So number one, check your high school start time. That's a good one. And write a letter if it's not at 8:30 or later. And the number two thing would be get that 5 to 10 minutes of morning sunshine, even on the weekends. And when your teen, you know, Saturday and Sunday, a lot of teens, because they're sleep deprived, they want to sleep in. But make a family agreement that you're only going to sleep in 1 or maybe 2 hours on Saturday and Sunday to not get too out of sync. I think those would be the top things you could do today.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this conversation. I mean, especially, I'm living through this right now, so it couldn't come at a better time. We've been talking with Heather Turgeon. She is one of the authors of the new book, Generation Sleepless. It is out now, and grab a copy of it if you've got teens and tweens in the house. I want to thank you so much for coming in today, Heather.
Thank you. This was fun. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters today. I'm Gemma Gaudette. My producer is Samantha Wright, and we will see you back here tomorrow.